we're ready to go forward. It's collective bargaining. It is May 21st, 2021, University of West Florida Board of Trustees and the University of West Florida, United Faculty of Florida. And I'm Mike Manimore.
Dan Lucas.
Kim LaDuff.
Jamie Sprague.
Mike DeWine.
Jessity Hobbs.
Remy Goujon.
John Fink.
Brian Demian.
All right, I think that's everybody. Jonathan, I understand that we're getting back together today because you would like to make a point of clarification with regard to the memorandum of understanding that we had provided in our last meeting. Is that correct?
Well, both, and I add that Dean DeBolt is also here too. He didn't get a chance to say so. Thank you guys for your patience. I had jumped in, you know, we still had some time remaining last time. And so that's why I just sent a message to see if you guys happen to be available just for a question, a point of clarification. We've also had time to have materials for a counter offer if the university believes that that is available to us today.
All right. Go ahead. All that's good.
Okay, great. So so a couple of things. We're actually really optimistic that we're going to get these things wrapped up today. And here's why. So a couple of elements. We've had the time to communicate with faculty, talk a lot about the things that we discussed last time. Specifically that faculty have relayed to us that conceptually with what you all outlined of holding, distributing the bonus and all those elements, as well as committing to, in our next reopener, negotiate the elements that we've outlined in the MOU, for instructors and lecturers, right? Conceptually, the university, the faculty will support that. And there's really one specific reason why they're willing to support that is because they've expressed to us that they believe that George Ellenberg and Martha Saunders believe in them. That what you all said about that that's not an issue of value, that the university supports them, that they have felt supported by our administration, and they believe that this is something that's stated in good faith. And that they trust them to pursue that. And so that's really why we're able to move forward with that today, is that history of trust that's been built with them and the good faith associated with that. So, we don't have a lot of time. We don't frequently have representatives, in addition from the bargaining team, we don't have members of the BOT or the administration usually attend bargaining sessions, but we faculty wanted us to relay that to you all so that you all can please relay that to them, but that's the motivation for this. I just sent Gabby, it's the same document, but it's two versions. It's the same content. One, we've made just a few changes to the, hang on, I've got someone else coming. Hang on 1 second, she bailed out on her nap. Hang on.
Okay.
She said, hold that, we're not signing anything. That's what she said.
Yeah.
All right. She says, caucus, we're not signing anything. This is Hazel, supposed to be nappy. So we've made a few phrasing changes to the language of the MOU that we submitted. Gabby will share that with you. One change was on the bonus. The university had said that it would be like language of good or better on the dean's overall evaluation. We're perfectly fine with that. There's a potential that could be misread with the lowercase g as like a qualitative statement of saying, someone says, oh, but it is good or better. It's, fair is good, right? So we've just simply put that in quotation marks and capitalized it to demonstrate that it's clearly an evaluation standard.
That's a good change.
The second element that we changed is, and the reason we were asking you guys to come back for a second was in our discussion, Mike, you had said use the phrasing of we would negotiate this in our 2022-2023 reopener, right? We understood that to mean when we come back to the table next spring, right? Because that's our second reopener before full book. The language, the MOU said the 2022-2023 academic year, so it could potentially create ambiguity about, wait, is this going to be negotiated as part of the full book going for, or as part of the reopener contract? Because those dates, that 2022-2023 is the date of the contract itself, right? Not the date of the negotiation. So we just pulled language from directly quoting the amendment and duration article that says, you know, during the renegotiations for the contract for July, et cetera, through July 2022 through July 2023, just clarifying that it's the negotiations for our next reopener that begin next spring, right? So there's that. And then the only other change we made is referencing because in the language where you say, you know, the university will complete the negotiate to complete the previous MOU, we've gone back and we've just quoted that MOU directly, right? Just that language says, the negotiation by the bargaining teams of an appropriate date of implementation, promotion percentage increase, and rollout schedule for the positions of senior lecturer, senior instructor, and senior research associate. So we've just pulled that language and cited it directly, quoted it and cited it directly in from the previous MOU and this current MOU to further illustrate that connection. And that's it. We'd be willing to, and I sent a signed PDF copy of that, attached to that as well, if that's helpful.
Okay, great. That is helpful. We appreciate it. Those changes sound like they're all good ones and would make the document a better document. Let me ask my bargaining team first if they have any questions or comments. I don't hear anything. So let me now do this, Jonathan. I'm going to ask my bargaining team to click off of this session and go into caucus. And we will be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, we'll stay here.
Okay. Should my team rejoin? I just wanted to check with everybody. And we're very pleased to be able to sign that MOU with your changes. I'll go ahead and execute it and get it back to you and circulate it to all interested parties as quickly as possible. It might be Monday morning, but we're going to put the $1,000 in play as soon as we possibly can. And we greatly appreciate it. I guess I just want to say one thing is that to express to you and to your team, well, first, thanks for your work through this, but also that the impression of the faculty is accurate, that the president and the provost highly values the people in these positions and sees them really as doing incredible work at the university, that you know, they're certainly needed and extremely highly regarded. And I've heard them say that. So good, we're all good.
And, Mike, I appreciate you saying that. You know, something that we might consider doing, we haven't done this so much in previous years, and I know we have more elements to negotiate and discuss. In the past, we've put together a joint statement from the bargaining teams upon ratification. Because of this specific nature of this material, that might be something that we plan ahead towards doing to kind of articulate a statement along those lines, in a joint statement upon
ratification. Right, right. I think we should pursue that. And we'll start working on it. Let's talk about process for a second. Do you want to take a stab at a draft, or do you want us to?
I was thinking more when we get towards. It depends on.
You mean when we get further along?
Yeah. The actual.
Okay, I got it.
If you guys are prepared to wrap up everything today. Yeah. I mean, we've got a few more things we want to talk about too, but yeah, farther along. Yeah.
All right. We'll do that. We'll keep that in mind and do it.
Okay. did you guys have, I actually reached a couple of comments or questions on a couple other things, but did you guys have anything for us?
No.
Oh, okay. You know, one thing that, looking forward ahead to some of these other elements that are still unresolved, I think that we're, Chastity brought this up to me earlier, that we've just completed that 2-year pilot program for the additional tuition benefit for dependents, the faculty. I think that this, we just finished it up either this spring or it may run through this summer, I don't remember. But that might be something to look at, something of an assessment of, to kind of see how many faculty utilized it, you know, what was beneficial, what changes were made, those sort of things. And to see if that's something that we will, consider going forward in this negotiation.
Okay.
Jamie or Dan or one of you guys might have that information as well about that program.
So, not off the top of my head, we'd have to get some numbers.
Yeah, and that's what we were thinking. I mean, if for a future session, if something to kind of look at. You know, the other question we had, and this is not a proposal or anything, but I was just kind of interested in both Mike Matamore and Michael, your opinion. It's just something that's been coming up more and more is like this relationship between like the legislature's changes, the collective bargaining agreement, like the Constitution of the state of Florida, you know, all the way in which all of those elements intersect. And this is, I'm just asking for your legal thoughts or opinions on this. Is not necessarily a representation of the university's position, but something that's been interesting to me is that in our state constitution, you know, it outlines that the legislature oversees the budget of the SUS system and that the Board of Governors oversees the implementation of the governance of the of those elements. And so I was just kind of interested in you all's thoughts about how that constitutional element intersects with things that the legislature passes, you know, about like our academic freedom elements or things like that. They aren't necessarily budget related, and then how those intersect with our CBA. I know it's a complicated question, and it's not necessarily something you guys have to answer or need to answer. I was just interested in your thoughts on it because those are all things we're kind of interested in too, and faculty are interested in, I should certainly say.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting conversation. A lot of people look at the question of whether or not the legislature can act in these areas of terms and conditions of employment in light of the collective bargaining law in Article 1, Section 6 of the Constitution. And the Supreme Court kind of gave guidance in a case called Scott v. Williams a couple of years ago, which had to do with the legislature imposing the 3% contribution rate in the FRS on public employees who were under collective bargaining agreements that might have language to the contrary. And so there was that issue, but you're raising a more fine issue, which is the division of authority between the Board of Governors, which is a constitutionally created body, and the Florida legislature, who in the Constitution has their authority recognized only to appropriate and not to control.
Exactly.
There was a case filed against, they actually sued each other at one point, the BOG and the legislature. And it had to do with whether or not the legislature could require the universities to follow the Administrative Procedures Act. I think the BOG kind of won because that's why we have regulations instead of rules, and our regulations do not necessarily follow the statutory APA because that was control rather than money. And then they entered into an agreement. I can admit I'm not that up on that agreement, but I don't think they actually sued each other through a trial. I think at some point they reached an agreement. And I, I need to take a look at that agreement and see where they kind of drew the line. I think obviously the legislature has a very expansive view of what is an appropriation. Mm-hmm. So I think they'd probably say anything that is going to cause an impact on the fiscal circumstances of an institution is part of the appropriations.
It's a good question. I was thinking about, I'll have to look back at the constitution, state constitution as well, because my memory was it said budget, not appropriation, but it might,
it might say budget
specifically.
Yeah. It might say budget. Sometimes the legislature acts with regard to the universities, and I think there's some speculation as to whether or not that exceeded that demarcation of authority. But then again, at this moment in time, the Board of Governors and the legislature do not seem to be in conflict, right? But there could be a day when they are.
Where this especially recently has come to light is a lot of the things about, course content and, that kind of academic content that's kind of coming out of the legislature, but not necessarily out of the BOG, and like where that authority, kind of overlaps along those lines. Do you know the name of that case with the BOG versus the legislature?
I don't want to misspeak it. I'll get it for you and send it to you, Jonathan. I'll send you an email with it in it. I think it's called it's got a funny name. It's like ABCD versus, it doesn't say like Board of Governors versus Board of Legislature. It's like ABCD versus the Home Rule Society or some weird thing like that,
It doesn't say Kong versus Godzilla.
No, it doesn't say Kong. It doesn't say elected elitist versus appointed elitist.
Please strike that from the record. That's I was just interested in you all's thoughts on that. Michael, do you have any other thoughts on that?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll look into that. It's just kind of interesting. That's all we have for today. Unless there's anything you want us to take a look at or to kind of go back to.
No, we appreciate it.
Okay.
We're good.
Thank you guys so much. That was really helpful, and we appreciate it. I think we've got a good solution.
Great. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll leave it for your ways.